From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today joins me from Turin, Italy, and has a brand new solo record out called Piano, Piano. It's Jeremiah Freights. Hello. Welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot for having me.
First off, Turin, Italy. Why? Why are you there?
I get asked that a lot, and I'm not surprised. My wife is actually from Turin, Italy. And, you know, we've been married some years now, and we always wanted to move here, but it just, we finally figured out a way to do it. And, yeah, we moved here, I think it was around August or September of 2020. And, you know, moving across halfway across the world during a pandemic is a pretty crazy thing to experience and do, but we're doing okay and we're happy.
Prior to that, it was about a decade, give or take, in Denver, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I was born and raised in Ramsey, New Jersey. I think I lived there for about 24 years, and then about a decade in Denver, Colorado. Yeah.
So when your wife says, I want to move, is the conversation, okay, fine, so long as we find a city where the sun sets over the top of a mountain range?
Basically, yeah. It's interesting you point that out because, you know, yeah, the Rockies and the Alps, there's some sort of I think the Alps might be bigger or at least more vast. I don't know in terms of, you know, the vague of what's a bigger mountain or not, but they're both very beautiful backdrops, and it's been cool to experience both of that so far.
It's probably safe to say, and not overstepping, to say that most music fans are familiar with you as a drummer. Drummer on three records released by Lumineers over the last 10 years. But all along, and even preceding that, you have been a pianist and a composer of piano music, right?
Yeah, so the singer of the Lumineers, Wes, and I, we started the band about 15 years ago, and we've been writing all the music ever since together. And, you know, when we started the Lumineers, that's sort of how I fell into playing the piano. We had various band members come and go way back then, and maybe we had like a bassist enter, and then I would hop on drums, and then maybe a drummer would come into the picture, and then I would hop back on bass or I'd learn in the piano. And when we started the Lumineers, I could barely play like a major chord to save my life. when we really started out, we were covering like maybe Coldplay and Tom Petty and Bob Dylan and Rolling Stones and just a multitude of different artists to play at bars. And then we'd throw in some originals and stuff that we had written, of course, little by little. But yeah, I couldn't really play the piano, and I think it was sort of trial by fire. It was like somebody pushed me into the swimming pool and just said, learn to swim. And, you know, it's pretty crazy if somebody told me, you know, 15 years ago that you would actually be putting out a solo instrumental album largely revolved around a piano. I would say, like, it's probably going to be really bad just because my I didn't know that I would get that into piano. I thought I would just be obsessed with drums for my whole life. And here we are.
What do you enjoy more?
Piano. I think piano, yeah. Honestly, I think the piano is like the most beautiful instrument in the world. I think that there's different different things, you know, like writing a song, starting on a guitar. There's just things you can do and vibes you can get to that you can't get to on a piano, vice versa, that you can do with a piano that you can't do on a guitar. Drums, I would argue, is like categorically kind of limiting. Like, unless you're writing the We Will Rock You beat by Queen, there's like, you know, probably a lot of drummers are probably going to hate me for that. But I felt like when I was like at a young age, like 16, 17 in high school, I think a light bulb went off in my head that for me on a personal level, I felt like drums long term might end up being quite limiting to my creativity. And, you know, with the piano, you can do the bass, you can do the melody, you can just hit big, beautiful chords and hit the sustain pedal and, like, you know, daydream. And yeah, I really fell in love with the piano, and I'm really in love with it. And it's probably the instrument I play most. And then second would be guitar. And I hardly touch the drums except when we're recording, believe it or not.
It's not kidding.
Something that I practice. It's not something that avidly seeking out new techniques. For better or for worse, I'm not saying I've like mastered the drums by any stretch of the imagination. I definitely play the drums the least amount, even though I'm, like you said, I'm sort of known for, at least in a live perspective, playing the drums with the Lumineers.
Yeah. Jeremiah Freights is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. His new solo record is called Piano Piano. It's an instrumental album, not exclusively piano. There are some shades of other things on it, but primarily an instrumental piano record. I would love to hear a tune. What do you want to play for us first?
Let's listen to Tokyo.
Fantastic. It's Jeremiah Freights on JPR Live Sessions. That is called Tokyo. My guest today is Jeremiah Freights, whose new release is called Piano Piano. Came out in January on Dual Tone. So if we turn back the clock, 20, 25 years, this music could arguably fall into the category of New Age, which is not even a term that's used anymore to really describe music. Do you have a concept of where it goes? You know, people throw out terms like ambient music or relaxation music. Do you have a sense of where it would sit if we could roll back the clock and go to a music store?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't even know what New Age means, although I do remember that term. And I've heard people throw around the term neoclassical as, you know, even referring to this album. But back in the day, if we're going back 20 years, I mean, I don't know. It'd probably be like in a Tower Records under like chill slash ambient or something in like a weird section of the store. Like you'd like go past Puff Daddy and go past Spice Girls and like the Rolling Stones. And then maybe you'd find this like weird, I imagine, small bin where it says like chill slash ambient. And I think that's part of the challenge and part of the fun of making this type of music is that when you finish it, you're sort of like, well, now what? What the hell am I going to, where's this going to live? You know, what is it actually going to do? And sometimes that's the beauty of it. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to be there for people to hit play and hopefully get, you know, swept off their feet and get taken into a new world and think things that they haven't thought before. But, you know, making it is probably the most fun part. And then what's going to happen with it? You know, I want people to listen to it, but it's a good question. You know, where is it supposed to live, this strange, odd instrumental music that we create sometimes? It's an interesting thing to think about.
Well, 25 years ago, we didn't have the opportunity for it to connect with an app called Calm.
That's true. Yeah. And that was a cool project where I think I had reached out to Calm because I saw some really cool, it's an app, if people don't know, that you can use on your smartphone and to meditate and do these guided meditations. And they have everyone from like LeBron James talking about how he gets a good sleep at night to I think comedians and famous people reading bedtime stories. And the whole thing, the whole premise is to relax. And I think in some way that was kind of cool, where it kind of kicked off me going down this path of a small spark of trying to make music that was under the premise that someone might meditate towards it, to it. So I think I thought, you know, while I was writing some of this music, the stuff on Piano was not used for Calm, except for a song called Chili. So that's the only gray area song. But even Chili, when I was writing that song, I was taking, you know, deep breaths and almost trying to hone in on like a hyper minimalism approach or something, where I admire other musicians that can have big pauses or big voids and spaces in between chords. And I think that just requires a lot of patience that I don't think I always have. So I think it was a kind of a cool, that Calm project that we kind of, you know, I did was in some way fed into the, I think, some creativity going into Piano, which was cool.
I love how even the name of the record ties in with that general feeling, because for folks who have no knowledge of Italian whatsoever, Piano actually kind of falls in between slow and soft. It can kind of be used in both areas. It almost literally means chill.
Yeah, and it was cool because, you know, I give credit where credit's due. My wife, Francesca, came up with the name. I think I was going to originally call the album, like, you know, Jeremiah Freight's Piano Compositions Volume 1 or something very sort of like scientific. And she was like, no, that's terrible. And like you said, the word piano means slow. It means quiet. It means also like the floor you're on, like piano 2 or piano 3 in like an apartment building. And then I guess if you say piano in Italian, it translates to little by little. And I just loved it because it worked. You know, I loved it because you didn't have to speak Italian to say the name. It was, I don't feel like it came across too, what's the word? Like highbrow, indie, ironic, gimmicky or something. It was, you know, it was just like in English, I think piano, if you never know that it means little by little in Italian, I think it's kind of an interesting just name. It's kind of this like playful piano. And then the fact that it does translate into something kind of cool, and the fact that, you know, at least there's this one song called Nearsighted that I think is track 5. And I recorded the guitar to that probably like maybe even 14 years ago when I was 21, living in Kingston upon Thames in England for like a study abroad thing. So you could say this album's been in the works for the better part of a decade, little by little. And I love how that kind of fed into that, you know, the process of that.
My guest today is Jeremiah Freights of Lumineers, who has released a solo record called Piano on Dual Tone Records. He joins me from Turin, Italy for our session today. Will you play something else?
Yeah, let's listen to it's one of my personal favorites off the album. It's called Possessed. Thank you.
That is a tune called Possessed. Jeremiah Freights, the pianist. It's from a new record called Piano Piano out on Dual Tone Records. I read that you have quite an affinity and love for the music of Beethoven, and also a pianist that many might not know by the name of Chilly Gonzalez. Who is Chilly Gonzalez, and where did you discover him and his music?
So Chilly Gonzalez was actually introduced to me by my Lumineers bandmate, Lauren Jacobson. She plays violin in our band, and I think that we probably love a lot of the same instrumental type music. And she showed me this guy, Chilly Gonzalez. I believe he's Canadian, and he has a couple of albums that I've heard that just absolutely like blew my mind, where they were just insanely beautiful, very raw, very simple in the way they come across, but they're very elaborate, beautiful melodies, beautiful, complex structures he builds. He's one of those guys that I could listen to him, you know, play just about anything. Even if he was practicing his piano scales, I'm sure I would find some joy in that. So he was a guy that I only learned about, I guess, maybe 2 years ago, tops. And he's really awesome. And it's been so cool to find his music finally.
You recorded this record in Denver?
Yeah, in Denver, in my own, in my house. So it was during the pandemic still. It was, you know, we were supposed to tour with the Lumineers for the most of 2020. Our tour got cut short in middle of March when the pandemic really started to sort of surge and come to America and all that. And it became clear that we were going to be home for quite some time. And I've tried to stray away from, I don't want people to think of this as a COVID record. It wasn't made because of COVID, or it wasn't made for COVID. It's, you know, I really wanted to stay away from trying to remember such an awful time and experience. And I think the only reason it was made during that time was that I had all this free time. And, you know, besides trying to stay safe and isolated and all that, it gave me a lot of time, obviously, with the tour canceled, to work. And I always wanted to record this album in a professional studio. And that just didn't seem possible with COVID going around. So, yeah, I did it in my house. I had a good amount of microphones. I have Pro Tools at home. And then I have in Denver a big, beautiful grand piano. And then like a small, old upright that got nicknamed as Firewood. My piano tuner in Denver, I think he honestly hates it. And I was like, I asked him, I said, you know, Michael, what do you think of this piano? And he's like, it's firewood, you know, it's basically like good enough to burn to keep warm. And it made me love the piano even more. So it's been nicknamed Firewood. And yeah, that's how I recorded it. And then I worked with this guy named David Barron, who co-produced and co-engineered the album with me. Now, I was in Denver, Colorado. He was 2 hours ahead of me in New York State, where he lives. And we would do things like FaceTime and do Zoom calls. And we used a fancy piece of technology software called Audio Movers, which is where you can listen in like amazing, lossless, high quality, almost no lag and delay. So he could listen to what I was doing in real time and vice versa. It was really cool to work that way, making the best of the situation. And I'd send him videos of setting up the microphones of a grand piano, and I really had no idea what the heck I was doing. And then I'd send him an audio file, and he would say, like, it's out of phase, you got to fix a mic. He wouldn't know which one to fix. And, you know, what normally would take, I don't know, 1 or 2 days, took probably like 5 or 7 or 9 days during the pandemic, because if I had to order a new microphone or a new microphone stand, deliveries were just backed up. I really didn't have a good grasp on what I was doing at first. And it was a very interesting process. Not to mention at the time, I guess he was two and a half years old son with our dog. And there was just a lot of noise in the house. So, you know, trying to make this quiet, vulnerable, intimate piano record, it was very challenging. And I think it made me a better musician, though, because it's sort of these little things happen that, you know, you could never plan, where, I don't know, just for example, when our son would take his nap in the afternoon, sometimes it'd be for an hour, sometimes it'd be for like 2 hours. But as soon as he went down to sleep, my wife would text me and say, start recording now. And I'd record on the grand piano and try to get as much done as I could. And even if I wasn't like, quote unquote, ready to record, you know, artists, they want to be like, have a candle lit and the perfect incense. And they want to be like spiritually, you know.
Wait, is that like how Lumineers records are made?
No, well, I think some, I will say some people I feel like are very into, you know, rituals. And I really respect that. I think that for me, I'm not really, you know, for better or for worse, I don't really have any rituals that I adhere to when I'm about to record. I think that I want to feel good. I want to have enough caffeine in my system, I think. But you want to feel relaxed and calm and confident. But, you know, doing it like this, it was pretty, it was very stressful the first even week or two that I tried to record that way, because it was, I sort of resented everything about it. I resented that I was finally trying to make this record that I planned on doing for like 10 years, that I was doing it in a very stressful way, that I couldn't go to a real studio. And then, I don't know. I don't know if it was a week. I don't know if it was 5 days. But then I slowly just got used to being like, well, listen, Jer, there's no options. There's nothing else you can do. This is how it is. And I just got used to it. And then I was able to do great takes no matter what was going on. And sometimes I'd do a great take and an airplane would fly overhead and that, I'd lose the take that way. The entire time I was making this record, there was literally a house being built next door that with lots of hammers going and large trucks driving by. So that, you know, even throw that into the mix. Sometimes you do a great take, and particularly on the song called Chili, I remember like there's a lot of sustain chords. And when you're playing, if you're playing, it can sort of like block any sort of maybe sounds that might come through and you could get away with it. But when you have large gaps in between the chords, and especially when it's just sustaining, everything that's happening around your house or in your house seeps through. And yeah, you do a great take, you know, like a 6 minute take or something. And then you'd hear a hammer. And I think at some point I just would laugh and sort of be like, this is insane. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I just kept plowing through and forging ahead. So I was, yeah, I was proud that I got through it.
Do you have any intention of actually performing these songs out in the world, like heading down to a little coffee shop in Turin, or are their sound systems pumping out Hey Ho like everywhere else in the world?
I would love to play this live. I would really love to play it live. I think that the idea to play this album in Italy, like maybe a string of shows, if that would ever be possible, would be really cool. I think I could probably find like a string quartet of a band and, you know, maybe find some people to play with me, and then maybe hop over to England and maybe do some shows in America too. Like, I wouldn't even be about, yeah, like I would play at a Starbucks. I wouldn't even care. I think it would just be really cool to play, you know. Even sometimes in places like Europe or any probably major city in America, there's like pianos at train stations and pianos at, I don't know, these public walkways and stuff. Yeah. And in a more safer world environment post vaccines and all that, that could be cool too, to just play like sort of a takeaway show and have maybe some strings with me and I could play the piano. And I don't know what I want to do, but I know that I am bummed, and I was bummed that I couldn't perform when the album came out. But I think in due time, I'll find a way and I'll have a lot of fun with it. Yeah. I do.
You mentioned that basically a year ago is when Lumineers tour got cut short, and you and Wes have both kept yourself busy, you with this piano record, Wes with a covers record that he released earlier this year. On a grander scale, like how many people did this shutdown displace in the Lumineers organization? You know, like from bus drivers, lighting guys, sound guys, like how many people were impacted by the shutdown of just your ability to tour?
I would say on the smaller side, 60 people. On the larger side, close to 100. I mean, the reason that's, you know, I don't really know the number, but I know that when we do our really big full-blown tours, like the arena tours, like the Madison Square Gardens of the United States. Yeah. We have all the trucks and all the buses going. You know, you have 6 band members, and then you have, I don't know, 50, 60 crew members, and then you have truck drivers and bus drivers. And just there's so much that goes into those tours. I think any large touring act would probably be similar numbers. If we want to just say even like 60 or 75 people, somewhere in that number, I'm sure if you get into the Beyoncés and the Taylor Swifts, you're talking about, who knows, 100, 200 people. I don't even know. And yeah, it's just going to be a really great reunion when we can all get back together and start to work again, I think.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people waiting for that opportunity. In the meantime, we've got this wonderful record to give us some calm and some respite with all of the chaos that is swirling around. And I'm thrilled that you had time to visit with us and play for us.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Jeremiah Freights is my guest today. His solo album is called Piano Piano, out on Dual Tone Records. And he joined me from Turin, Italy, his new home. Will you share one more tune?
Sure. Let's end with a song called Chili.
And I'm guessing that this is a nod to Chili Gonzalez.
It might be. You know, I will say this. It was really funny. The engineer, David Barron is his name, and I love him to death. He sent me, when we first started working on the song, so chili is spelled like, you know, you're cold in that sense, like the word chili. It's not spelled like the food. And he he had sent me like a file that he had mixed and sent it to me, like C-H-I-L-I, and I just got such a kick out of it. I know it's not even that funny of a story, but it just really... it made me smile when I saw the song Chili spelled like the food. So it's not spelled like the food. I do love chili, but yeah, here we go.
It's Jeremiah Freights on JPR Live Sessions. Thank you. That one is called Chili. Pianist Jeremiah Freites joins me today for JPR Live Sessions from Afar. That is a track from his new album out in January called Piano, Piano. Jeremiah, thanks again for visiting with us and for sharing music. It's a beautiful record.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. And yeah, thanks for having me. This was great.